They're trying to tell us something.
See, right there. That's where the fingerprint fell off.
They have figured out the formula for chaos.
When the clock strikes 8:30, babe, time to head for Chris's house.
Hey.
Will the sun make it to the next round?
Oh, no.
Pot of thunder. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
Mm. Yeah.
Put your hands together for Doc Gibbs and the Emerald Live Band.
Woo! Still, cooking tonight.
Still them, huh?
They're still here.
Yep.
Doing a residency.
When you get a good gig.
Yep. Thank you, Doc.
Why leave?
Yeah.
Exactly. They're not going to leave on their own volition.
Yeah. Wait for the series to be canceled.
They'll leave if we throw them out, but that's not happening. Mm-hmm. Not with that kind of theme music coming out of them.
No, it's not. Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Blue Microphones. They look great. They sound even better.
Well, America's little brother, he tied the game at 6. Then Chris got it wrong. Now Andy's become the fireworks game champion. Little brother wins it. Little brother wins it. Little brother wins
it. Wow, look at that. That's right.
That's a classic.
It's
Elvis has entered the building.
Yeah, for the first time, right?
The Andy theme songs.
Very nice.
Andy's victory still being celebrated down in Menfo.
Yeah, over a month later, right? A month later. Yeah, tomorrow or whatever. Anyway, that's right. It's your buddy Andy Merrick's little brother. And here comes this fella.
Hold on.
Getting up.
Extra room has been made for Nick down here in the studio, so he can do his thing.
All right, well, here he goes.
Nick Pollock has entered the program. Ugh. Welcome, Nick.
The man is an infant, basically.
How come? The dancing?
Just the joy of it. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Okay.
Well, I mean that, you know, infants tend to be happier people than adults.
That's
so
true.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Rubens is gone, so someone's got to...
So you're the new Pee-wee?
Act like an infant.
Well, good. That void needs to be filled, and I guess it will be filled by Nick going forward. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And directly to Nick's left, you want him, we got him.
I can have it every day, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. Chris L is here.
What a delivery on that.
Mm-hmm. And we are ready for Pot of Thunder, episode 522. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
My. Lots of content out there.
Mm-hmm. That is true. If nothing else, there's a lot of it.
It's all still available.
It's got to be overwhelming for someone who's new to go... Like, if you're interested and you just found the podcast, that has to be overwhelming.
Well, you just go through and cherry-pick the songs you want to hear.
True.
That's the beauty of the format.
Yeah, that's true. And also, you could, I don't know, depending which app you're using, whatever podcast app, I believe it could organize it by what you've played already and unplayed, so you're not, you know, have I heard that one yet? If you're just going out of order. You know,
right.
It'll keep them for you, what you haven't heard, so that's
there's,
nice.
There's likely some song that you enjoy as you're searching through.
Yeah.
There's something is going to intrigue you.
But it is such a crapshoot with that, too. Like, I mean, it might, maybe that's an easier way to get familiar, finding a song that you like or you're familiar with or whatever. But as far as whether or not the show's going to be good, it could be based on... around a good song, or could have nothing to do with a good song.
I think that's true of any podcast episode. It's either going to be good or it's going to suck.
I know, but I just mean there's no indication if you, because you have that idea in your head. Oh, good song, maybe not good.
Well, if it's an interview format, even and you're like, oh wow, look at all these that's people true. That this guy interviewed. Oh wow, he interviewed David Lee Roth. I'm gonna look.
That's true.
That was a terrible episode.
Well, we probably should have known that.
I mean, but I'm
David
just,
Lee Roth, something... Jesse Ventura. There's certain guests that come around on podcasts that are 100% terrible in interviews. I would say those are two. Not terrible people, not terrible contributions to their fields, but just as far as one-on-one interviews,
a bit of a letdown sometimes.
Well, they're just. They don't listen to who's talking to them at all. They just do whatever they want. Yeah, but we'll see what happens. We'll see where we're at today. Are we hungry? We're not hungry today.
You guys are hungry.
We're hungry today.
Yeah, you are.
All right, well.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
Oh, look at you. Oh, I don't know about this.
Sandwich bags are no good?
Well, there's no foil. There's a sandwich bag.
You can still do your Andy SMR with that.
We're talking about that before we hit record. Trying to make a little side money.
Always.
That is so weird.
It sounds bizarre. Like a fire.
Yeah. What happened to just watching naked people ram into each other for pleasure on the internet? Have we gotten so sick in this world that we can't watch that anymore? That we need to have people do this for
when
pleasure?
When were we watching naked people like ram into each other?
Is that like
other?
American Gladiators?
Are you just talking about pornography?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a subset of just no sex involved, just naked people ramming like into each other.
Nitro singlet fell off or something.
Naked American Gladiators.
Naked ramming.
That could be the next thing. With the way the internet is now,
why not?
Pay for a subscription and get Naked American Gladiators.
Naked people bumping into each other.
excuse me.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, this is
no
exciting.
Sex involved.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
Well, don't they say that, like, I don't know what time, but some early Olympics or something, people would...
They were naked.
They were naked, right?
Yeah, like, the original Olympiad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nude wrestling and nude
it was
racing.
In Greece.
Oh, they were...
They didn't even have clothes until the 1940s.
Yeah. That's true. 1940s. Yeah. Ah, man.
It was in Greece. That tells you all you need to know about the nudity and the homoeroticism. That's it, right there. End of conversation.
Yeah. Greece, huh?
How about that Greece?
Why does anybody leave Greece?
Well, the economy isn't the toilet.
That's the problem.
I mean,
okay.
I don't know if it's made a comeback, but it's rough economic conditions over there.
Civil unrest and all that, I think.
You certainly wouldn't leave the island of Lesbos. I mean, you know, once you're there, you know, that's it. Just take my passport. Take my car keys. I'm not going anywhere.
You put some roots down in Lesbos.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. It's the place to do it. So this baked item, I haven't opened it yet to smell it, but I see little green things on it, and I'm nervous that this is a savory
things,
treat.
There's sprinkled on top, it appears.
It's good.
Did you make like some kind of Italian bread and frame it as a cookie?
No.
Because it looks like
this
it's...
This is a lemon basil shortbread cookie.
Basil.
And it's basil from a basil plant.
From your garden?
That I happen to have.
Nice. What about the lemons? You grow those?
No. Where can those even grow?
Not here. You can grow them in the house if you have...
Does that work?
Hydroponics.
Yeah, you could do that, all that deal. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch the Frank Thomas commercials.
He grows lemons in his house.
Yeah. It's got a lemon boosting formula that you just put into the soil and suddenly, and she'll like it too. So what is this again? A lemon what?
A lemon basil shortbread cookie.
All right, I'm going.
And if I say so myself, it's pretty good. I had a piece of one yesterday.
Mm.
Gave it a test run.
Chris is into it. That's good news.
And that's it's lemon zest. Not there's no lemon juice in it.
Okay.
Only lemon zest is what gives it. Which I always was like, what's the big deal with lemon zest? Why do we need to do this?
It's a thing.
Why do we need?
What
to do
is
this?
Lemon zest?
You just grate very finely, grate the peel.
Yeah.
Little shavings of the peel.
Yep.
And I was like, what's the big deal? But it's actually it works pretty well in this cookie. I would say
it does something. People know what they're doing.
I don't, but yeah.
Yeah.
Nick is not known for his shaving, so that's an interesting twist on things.
Juicing, yes. Shaving, no.
He is now, though. He's dipping his toe into the pool of shaving.
Okay, so here we are. Yes. It's Chris's turn.
Despite protests from Andy earlier.
I thought it was my turn somehow.
Well,
I don't know. You guys are always playing games with the list. It should have been my turn, but
Andy wants every week to be his turn so he can make extra money off of it.
Hmm.
Right?
Well,
it's true.
It's not.
Did
it's
someone
not for me to
someone
say.
Offered you money, right? Right before we started recording.
Yes.
Expose these people.
No. It's my buddy.
Sleepy Bill Burns sent
these backroom
Andy a
deals he's making.
Mm-hmm. Making it happen. Okay, so it's going to be Chris's turn because we cheated.
Cheated?
I don't know. We can't stick to the formula. We had to take away my turn that I had lined up. So
you're just not paying attention.
Yeah.
People are not paying Andy. That's the problem.
That's what it is.
Like I deferred to Tom, but I did not give up my turn, so I'm next in line. Deal with it.
All right. Well, okay. Nick, I'm going to need you. Well, we're going off the list, right, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Nick, pull it. Number 701. Just shot it over to you via text there.
No, absolutely not. No. Bushwick that.
701. I'm not even ready to Bushwick it so quickly.
Absolutely not. Never. Move along to the next trick. It's a band whose appeal is just, I don't understand.
Sounds like a good episode.
I will never be in the mood to consume their music.
So 701.
Never happening, huh?
Not happening. No, not good for blue jeans. Not happening on this episode.
Is 701 a bad fit?
I actually, at Big Lots, I get the 701 jeans sometimes.
On a regular basis?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the 701?
I don't know. It's not 501.
It is. Okay, is 501 tighter?
No,
I don't know. All right. Nick,
again?
Please.
Ding.
To the beginning of the list. Number 68 is now in your inbox. Take a look. See at number 68.
This shit again.
Did that come up recently? Yeah, right?
I don't know. We talked about this band came up. I don't know if it's the same song. It was for somebody else.
Mm.
And it's getting Bushwick.
Wow.
Okay. Move along to the next trick.
We don't want it. It's not in the mood for that.
Okay. You don't have to be, yeah.
I will say this. I looked back at the first poll.
Mm-hmm.
I might consider that depending on what comes up here.
Okay. All right. Well, then, Nick, I'm going to need you to give it one more little pull.
Humming a.
Okay. We've got. Oh, where's it at? Number 430. Jeez. I don't know the song, but I know the artist. I don't know what we do here. This is on Chris. I'm glad I don't have to make this Sophie's choice of a decision.
What kind of stuff are people submitting?
No, this isn't bad, but it's kind of in the vein of where we've been going lately. So... You know what? I'm going to go back to the first poll. I think the first time in history we reversed a Bushwick.
I think so.
But, you know.
That's interesting.
People say the worst songs make the best episodes, well, it might work in everybody's favor here.
Okay.
I could have gotten up and seen what else was on the screen for that last poll, but I don't feel like it. Also, something that factored into my decision is the year 701 has something in it leads to one of our favorite features here on the show. So hit it!
Habemus Papa!
Time for Pope stuff!
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'll be back.
Why is that?
That's because it's so long.
Everybody likes hearing that.
That's true.
Oh yeah, people love this segment.
It's just funny because it's like, oh, they probably cut it down by now, right? Just gonna say it twice and then get to the instrumental
it's,
part.
It's similar to the rationale about the Emerald Band leaving on their own accord. Why would they do that? Why would you trim this theme music? You simply wouldn't do it.
I will not.
Ridiculous notion. All right, the year 701. Nick, any guesses on who the Pope was?
701... a Sylvester, perhaps?
Close.
R. Kelly was the Pope? Pope Robert Sylvester the First.
Yeah. Pope Kells the Seventh. No, close, but here we go. September 8th, 701. Pope Sergius the First.
Power Surge.
Power Sergius.
We talked about him.
Dies at
Rome. Oh, wait a minute.
After a 14-year reign, he is succeeded by John the Sixth as the 85th Pope of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow.
Sad news for Sergius, but he had 14 years at the helm. Nice run there.
John the Sixth. I think there have been like 22 Johns.
Jeez.
And someone's going to try to fact check me, and they're wrong.
I believe there are also 22 Johns in the Vatican.
That's nice.
You know.
It's a good amount. That's like Mike Tyson's house.
It's got to be tough to keep all those Johns clean, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of Johns to clean.
All right. So, the song that we pulled here, Chris, do you know it?
I've maybe... listen to it out of morbid curiosity, but certainly we'll get into it. But as the discussion unfolds, I will reveal my thoughts about this band. The song in particular is not ringing a bell, but judging by the title, it's got to be garbage.
And one of the I typed it exactly how it was typed here. There was a typo in there, but you probably figured out what it was supposed to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm looking forward to this because this is the way that this happened is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a first. Nobody's ever, to my knowledge, reversed a Bushwick.
Well, and the initial reaction was just absolutely not. And then it was like, maybe.
I think you kind of talked Chris into it, maybe.
Well, again, briefly. The fact that the number gave us some Pope stuff. And then somebody else mentioned it today. The worst songs make the best episodes. This has got to qualify for that. So let me see. I don't know what the album is, but I will look it up so I can.
You
want to
do the deal?
Sure.
Okay.
Dumb title. I'm typing in right now.
Are there? Can you read the comments? Are there comments, or no? Would that give it away?
Hold on, I'm almost there.
You mean from?
Yeah.
From the person who submitted it?
Yes. Is there a way to, or no? That's okay. Who submitted it? Or would you rather not say?
I'll say it. It was Mike Medina.
Okay.
Hey, Mike. I feel like we have to say what it is before we read the comment.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. I've got the info up.
All right, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
Waiting for a Love That's Real.
Off of
Soldiers Under Command.
By the band
Striper.
Ow!
Okay. Now, I don't know this song or album at all. How old is this one? Do we
1985
debut
oh,
album?
Oh, wow. Okay.
We had some guesses in our live chat that it was Slayer. Very close.
The same amount of letters, almost. Maybe.
Same. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't react to Slayer that way. I've gone on record. I like Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, love the live shows. It was the two live shows I've seen. Absolutely incredible. Top five concerts, both of them for me. Hmm. And the recorded stuff, I'm good with that too. I would not react to Slayer that way. Hmm. So
this was their debut album. What was it called again?
Soldiers Under Command.
Okay.
Dangerously close to Rock Soldiers. Another turd from the era.
If they followed the Nitro format, it would be called Suck. You know.
Yes.
Not saying it does. I'm just saying. Like the... Because what was on that fake video? It wasn't a fake video, but the...
Oh, that's right.
It's Cat Scratch Fever. Because there's OFR, and then there's Hot Wet Dripping with Sweat, but it's the letters. And then that one said... like with a period between each letter, WESUC.
It was like SUCC.
Oh, okay, maybe. Yeah. But someone was pretending the album was We Suck. But then they posted it.
Yeah, and now they're our only source for for seeing it.
Yeah. Okay, so let me read you Mike's comment. Striper's debut album, and despite the title, this is not a ballad. It's an 80s pop rocker in the vein of Eddie Money. Ooh.
All right.
It's got that.
Get out of here. traipsing into blasphemy with that kind of comparison.
Well, I haven't heard it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm curious.
It's got that great 80s guitar chug that is guaranteed to bring a smile to anybody who ever dreamed of playing guitar. Okay.
Yeah, I just don't get the rage.
He's selling the sizzle. Let's see how the steak is.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the religious connotations or the stupid outfits they wore. It's not good. Nothing I've heard from them is good, and I just don't get the appreciation for these clowns.
Really?
No.
So here's, I'll give you my whole Striper knowledge. I don't think I've ever heard an entire Striper song.
Right, because you can't sit through it.
I don't even know if
you owned a cassette back
in the
day.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
You owned In God We Trust.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember going to Coconuts, and that's the tape that you picked up.
Never went to Coconuts.
Maybe it was Peaches at that point.
Maybe it was Peaches. Okay, then maybe I did at some point, but I do have a note about that. Anyway, but as an adult where I would actually remember something, I've never gone back and listened to any Striper.
Would you?
Well, there you go. Just out of curiosity, kind of, because people talk about them still.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like people talk about them, but none of it is warranted. They're garbage.
Well, and whether you like them or not, Michael Sweet is up there with all the, if you want to call them legends, whatever,
this era. No, we don't want to call them legends.
No, I'm just saying they're all buddies with them. Yeah, I've seen interviews like him and George Lynch talking about how great the other one is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just saying.
Didn't they do something together?
They had a band going, I think, kind of side project. But
Sweet Lunch, I think, was the name of it.
But like him or not, he's widely considered one of the legit guys.
You still hear that, like, oh, man, he's still got it. Yeah. He's still got pipes.
People praise the new albums all the time.
And all the raves that were directed at Anvil in the movie. It's all bullshit. It's like, for some reason, they just feel the need to, you know, stroke this guy's ego. But deep down, they know he's shit. They have to.
He's shit.
He is shit. He's got nothing...
Well, no redeeming qualities.
Okay. And don't talk to me about, oh, he can sing and he can hit the high notes. Yeah, big deal. There's nothing redeeming behind any of it. It's all horse shit.
Yeah.
And that's not even getting into the whole religious aspect of it, which, you know, hey, interesting shtick, a way to you know, knife your way into the scene. Because had it not been for that, nobody would have paid any attention to these jagoffs.
Okay.
Seriously. So it wouldn't have happened. So
In God We Trust was the second album, the one Nick said that I had on cassette. So yes. That was 1988. That doesn't necessarily mean I bought it then, but that's the second album. If I bought it, here's what I remember. I won't name names.
It sucked and you threw it in the trash can.
Well, I won't name names, but there was a Chris-like figure. Okay.
What?
A Chris-like figure, but hold on. So as a child, probably of a single-digit age, I would buy cassettes. I was like, oh, these guys look cool to a child. They've got all this black and yellow, right? I mean, you could understand people like Kiss, people, you know, you see these characters, like, let's try this.
Well, they carved out an image where you know who it is.
Right. Yeah, so I bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but now you see why I bought it. And then I showed it to someone, a Chris-like figure, who said, these guys are gay. And I don't even know if I was allowed to play it. So. There you go.
Good.
That's what it was like.
That was an influential individual in your life, and I hope you listened to that person.
That's what life was like back then.
I remember
it was a different time.
It was a different time.
I remember slightly different and slightly more offensive.
Different word.
Yeah.
not as politically correct as these guys are.
Not even along the same line. It was something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I just maybe
I could be wrong though. Maybe several things were said.
It is interesting because I've gotten to the point in my life now where I'm fully aware that I have kind of fictionalized everything that's ever happened in my life. Like where I kind of remember it and I've just made up the story.
Well, everybody does that because it makes the stories more interesting.
But then I've forgotten that whatever the real story was.
If the real story was worth a damn, you wouldn't have forgotten.
That's true. But yeah, I was, you know, it used to be like where I would argue with someone, no, this is what happened. Nah, I'm giving up. If you have a different version, yours probably happened.
Everyone who's ever told a story has done that.
Yeah.
And certainly anybody who's quote unquote written a book has done that.
Oh yeah.
Or they've told their boring ass story to the person who actually wrote it and they said, okay, that's a good foundation. We're gonna embellish on that and make it compelling.
Yeah. So. But Nick's saying he's got something better. I want to hear it, but I don't think you're going to tell us.
He probably can't say it.
No.
Broadcast it out to the world, but we'll discuss it after the recording session.
What if to some?
What if you send
titillating
it
to others?
Right.
What if you send it to us so I can read it?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it.
And then we could react to it without saying it
in the midst of the episode.
Yeah.
And then I'll show it to the Patreon group.
No.
I think that's fair.
No.
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 Nick said
Boy,
no.
Boy, it's that offensive.
Well, it's just... No.
What if you send it to me, then I write it on a piece of paper so it doesn't have your name next to it, and then I hold it up?
No.
Nope, still no. Okay.
Wow. Dying to see what
because
this
is. It's not that the word itself is offensive. It's just that it's indicating a particular demographic of the population, and
I think I got it now, maybe, but there's probably more color.
Now you're saying the same person that Andy said that to him and said this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued, but we got business to attend to. We gotta get into this song. I will say I am surprised. I thought for sure it would be a power ballad based on the title. So
yeah, Nick, you didn't really share anything other than what you hear people saying now. But what are your thoughts on Stryper, especially back then? What was your impression?
So, never really got that into them. The newer stuff I've gone and listened to as it comes out, because Andy has a buddy who's very into them. And I remember I was in a group text. Well, you don't
have any buddies.
You don't hear from him anymore. But
he's not going to hear from him anymore once he finds out, because he's not going to hang around with somebody who's into Stryper.
But I remember being told, "Hey, new album's amazing."
Yeah, I remember this conversation.
So I went and checked it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not something I went and did a repeat listen to, but I could see like, okay, this is for this.
If you
style,
were a fan of this,
if
it
you were
would
a,
be...
yeah, if you were a fan, then it's like, oh yeah, for sure. This is, I love it that there's new material. Yeah, but it never really stuck on me. I'm curious to hear this one. I mean, the way that Mike is talking about this one, very intriguing. Would never have thought. I mean, this could be an Osmonds type revelation here.
In your regular playlist.
Who knows?
Hey, we'll find out.
I mean,
I don't
know
it.
What can it what can it sound like? The mind is reeling.
Yeah. Sound like shit, probably.
I mean, look at the album cover of this. They've got this, like a conversion van with the yellow stripes on it.
I gotta see this.
I'm on board with that. It's nice. And they're all standing in front of it. One guy's sitting on it.
Let's see.
Yeah. And it's got, looks like it's got, like, ambulance lights on the top. So they're saving the day or something. You know, they're like the A-team, kind of, but
oh, wow.
of whatever they're doing.
The A-team.
Yeah.
So these guys, I mean, are... I don't know how many of the original band members are still in it, but...
Yeah, I certainly don't know.
They're still going strong, if you will.
Well, there are two...
All right, I...
They're brothers, right? There's a sweet... Two sweet yeah. brothers, a drummer and the Michael.
Are you saying Oz Fox isn't in the band anymore? I know he had some health issues in recent years, but guitarist.
I couldn't tell you.
I'm ashamed of myself for knowing that, but I do.
Everybody's name was Fox, I guess.
I'm gonna look this up.
Yeah, no idea. But I dig the album cover. I'm fully on board with it.
Oz Fox is the lead guitarist in Striper. So he's still around. So I don't know who's missing. It might be the same band for all I know. I don't know. Oh, okay. David McCowan answering all of our questions. Just the bass player is new. So there you go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So pretty good.
That's great.
40 damn years, they were able to keep 75% of the lineup intact. Okay. Okay, are you guys ready to get into this?
Yeah, I'm curious.
There's probably a video. I don't care.
No, we're certainly not going to the trouble of finding that. No.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're in agreement. Nick, I'm sorry if you wanted to watch it on your own.
Is the van in the video?
I do like a nice conversion.
Is Michael Sweet, is he chomping on a cigar?
He might be.
Sitting in the front seat.
Could be. Okay, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with, what was this called? Waiting For a Love That's Real. Waiting For is in parentheses. You should
it is.
Bonus points for that or no?
None for me.
We've talked about it in the past.
It's a lost art, but no, not for me for this.
Okay. All right. Be right back.
Ooh, we're religious, so let's do like something that sounds like a church organ. That'd be a great idea. How fucking predictable can you possibly get? So stupid.
Nick, anything?
I'm just curious how it segues from this into the rest of the song. Musically.
I'm going to guess it just stops.
I wish the whole song would stop. But how long is this one? Can you tell?
Yeah, 4:35.
Oh, Jesus. It's a bit too long for my taste.
Yeah. Probably could.
Oh, Jesus, pun intended.
There
so.
You go.
Great chord progression.
He's a big fan of that.
Just wanted to throw that in.
You can picture. Some 80-year-old broad playing it at the 10:30 mass on a Sunday.
You gotta say, I have to say though, it always baffled me the footwork that's going on with some of these older women who are playing the organ.
They know what they're doing.
It's like, all right, they're playing on a couple different levels here, and the feet are going all over the place.
There is a lot going on
there
with
is.
The church organ playing, and yes, that is. Much more impressive than anything this band has ever put out. So,
okay.
not exactly the way it's played, and definitely not the production. Sounds way different, but it sounds like something that could have been like a journey, sort of a progression, like a guitar.
This part right here,
yeah,
so far?
Yeah, like just kind of the chords and then the little single note kind of riff in between the chords. Kind of, I'm getting like a journey vibe just from that part of it.
Okay.
Well, that would kind of, technically, Journey became a power pop band, not in the vein of what we, you know, what we heard last week or anything, you know, other power pop we've done over the course of the show, but it's more of like big arena rock, but I don't know.
I'm curious what Chris thinks of the drum sound.
The drum sound's good.
Yeah, it just it
I mean, I got no issue with that.
Came in hotter than I was expecting, actually.
Came in hotter, and it actually sounds like a proper drum set. So I will give the tip of the hat to whoever produced this, because Lord knows there were many lousy drum sounds being put out there all the time back in the day. This is would not be one of them so far. She says she tried so hard to show it. She wants to see what's on her mind. Seems like she doesn't want to know it.
I mean, it's...
That's Eddie Money.
I don't know. I'm on the fence as far as, like... I don't know if it's the production or just kind of the delivery. It's like, okay, yeah. Guy's singing well and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not really an element yet vocally, melodically, that's grabbing me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I'm not sure what he's saying either. I haven't really...
I think we should probably dive into the lyrics.
I would say
you
so.
You got him up there?
I do.
No clue what he said. I wasn't focusing on it.
I don't know how far we got, but I'll tell you what I see. She says she tries so hard to show it. She wants to say what's on her mind. Seems like he doesn't want to know it. She says he's always so unkind.
Ah, well.
So...
Not terribly uplifting.
Not yet. Give it time.
what's going to happen?
Oh, and this is not their debut album. This is their second album.
Oh, what's the first
album? The Yellow and Black Attack.
Oh, really?
From 84, according to Wikipedia, yeah.
Damn. And you know what? I was wrong. I said In God We Trust was the second album. Also not true.
Everything I've said so far has been accurate.
Good. Nick's got it together. To Hell with the Devil was the second one.
Going back to the drum sound, produced by none other than Michael Wagoner, who produced Balls to the Wall. And mm-hmm. we went during that episode, we went down the list of all the great stuff he's done, because that's one of the all-time great guitar tones. I think everybody's in agreement on that. Mm-hmm. So that explains why it sounds actually pretty good.
I mean, it's 80s, you know, not power ballad, but it's, for lack of a better word, it's 80s cheesetastic as far as, I mean, it is as far as just the over the top, a little over the top vocal delivery.
Yeah.
Very, very poppy, extremely poppy, which there's nothing wrong with, but, I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of it, to be honest. How are you guys feeling about it?
Andy, you want to chime in on this at this point?
It seems like a second tier act to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Is like, if you wanted this style and this type of song, there's so many better options out there than this. Why would you resort to this?
Yeah. If they were from your town and you got to see them all the time, okay. But as far as being like a national top-level act, I don't think so.
Well, they were for a while, inexplicably.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and everybody praises his vocals. It's just, they just sound whiny to me. There's just no
I don't like
body to them. Yeah, it's just fucking whiny, effeminate crap.
And I was going to... On the subject of the vocals, I was going to ask, I know we don't know much by Stryper. Does Michael Sweet ever get into more of like a gravelly sounding vocal? Or is it like always super clean and high pitched? Like
I don't know. Why would he, though? Why would he go against what he does?
Yeah. I mean, if that's what he does all the time for every song, then...
Yeah, I don't know enough.
I'm just curious. What's in his bag of tricks vocally? I really don't know.
I'm gonna take a wild guess and say his more recent albums probably has to because he's probably 60.
Yeah,
I don't think he would be able to sing like that anymore. Even if you still have a strong voice, I think just age is gonna give you some gravel and some grit.
Probably. Plus, he's probably channeling Lucifer at some point in his vocals, which. Well,
He's doing like a call and response.
It could have been
evil
thing.
It could be. You know, these guys had a couple albums in the 80s. I don't know their history, so the people who are fans are like, no shit, but I don't know. I don't know, so I'm sorry. But like, you know, a few albums in the 80s, 1990, and then looks like nothing until 2013.
They got
a 2013, a 2015, a 2018, a 2020, a 2022.
Yeah.
So they're more prolific in the last 10 years.
Sounds like
whatever.
Ace Frehley's career, really. Yeah. Like just a stretch of time where there was nothing.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden just making up for lost time.
Yeah, now more than ever.
Yeah.
Well,
that's great. I mean,
yeah.
Well, they've hopped on the nostalgia board bandwagon. I mean, look, you gotta make a living and there's a market for it, so why not?
In 2018, Goddamn Evil is the title. Woo!
Real edgy.
Going for it. Even the devil believes. Yeah. All right. Let's keep going.
I love you. I want you. I don't want love. That's just not real.
This just reminded me of... that part just made me think of another song. What was it? It was Love Is for Suckers. Was that supposed to be a Dee Snider solo album, but it was Twisted Sister?
That's what people say. Yeah.
Yeah. This sounds like Love Is for Suckers to me, as far as the sonically and the way the song is structured.
And what do most people say about that album was their Rock Me Tonight moment with the Leader of the Pack cover and just, you know. Just everything just been emasculated and, you know, just a bad move on their part. And that's what this sounds like.
That song features one of Andy's favorite vocal moments ever, though. Right when Dee Snider first comes in.
It's so...
I met her at the candy store.
So absurd. The level of volume and drama.
Compared to the spoken word right before it.
Mm-hmm.
And then him tearing in all of a sudden.
I remember Andy listening to that over and over and laughing. Rewinding it and laughing at it. What is... It's like one of the other guys in the band.
Where'd you meet her?
Yeah. Where'd you meet her?
Yeah.
And then he's full screaming.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like their version of Grease, a scene out of Grease.
Exactly.
Basically.
How fucking weak is that, man?
Yeah.
Oh, Andy loved it.
It's funny. I would probably love it, and I'll probably listen to it tomorrow just to laugh at it.
Yeah, you will.
Is that the intended response? I don't think so.
I doubt it.
And then the other band I would compare to these guys to, Stryper, to sonically, that they came a few years later. Another band I just, they've got no fucking nads too. In fact, I think their current bass player Stripers used to be in this band, and that would be Firehouse.
I know the name, but I don't really
know. Whiny fucking vocals. And
did they have that "Don't Treat Me Bad" song? That's
Yeah, they did.
I remember that. But
in the ballad of
"Love of a Lifetime,"
which there's a live acoustic version of "Love of a Lifetime" that's legit, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, it's like the song is meant for that type of configuration. Some one of my buddies sent it to me years ago. I'm like, this is fantastic. So I'll stick up for that at least. Anything else I'm not really too familiar with.
Okay. We don't have to go back to the lyrics, do we? We kind of got it.
I love you. I'm not really. I want you. He's just a pussy, basically, expressing himself.
So is this, this is kind of...
I don't need to hear the specifics of it.
It's basically a he's mistreating you, I'm here, I'll treat you better.
He's in the friend zone.
Here's another trope, to use Nick's favorite word, of, you know, being treated like garbage by that guy. You know my number. Give me a call. Mm-hmm. I'll treat you right. Yeah, that phone never rings. Never seems to ring, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It seems like life is getting better. She knows it just can't.
I will say, yeah, that it's, I mean, it sounds different, of course, but that sort of, the Mike mentioned the chugging sort of guitar riff. I mean, it's that quality is there, the sort of palm muting, that rhythm is there. So yeah, I hear
Of course,
sure.
Yes, it's there, but it's not good. And it certainly, if you A-beat it against loudness or accept, I mean, it's just got no balls to it. Zero. there is no balls to any of this music. Maybe in the drums, but no, it's a pale comparison to other bands and songs that were way better than this.
A lot of vocals there.
Yeah, it's a little exhausting.
Yeah. Big vocals.
I heard, I mean, now that Chris mentioned the Firehouse comparison, I totally hear that in the vocal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What was that dude's name? Anybody remember
One of the lamest names in rock, and I think I've got it right without looking it up. He's also the owner of currently one of the worst toupees on the planet. And that would be
look him up.
CJ Snare is his name.
Really?
And he's not even the drummer.
It's not a good name. not a great name.
That's like a Frank Beard situation.
Yeah,
exactly. Doesn't even have a beard.
One of the worst toupees in history.
Yeah, and his piece is just not happening. He should go the Joe Lynn Turner direction and just buzz it all off.
I was just going to say, has nobody else has... I would have thought Joe Lynn Turner started a movement among the elder rock stars. I don't think he has.
No.
I think he should have. I think there should have been some guys following that sort of lead, but so far he's the only one who's just like, man, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think he... First of all, I don't think he has the clout anymore. I don't think enough people are paying attention.
Yeah, maybe
not. And secondly, I don't think enough people have the balls to do it.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking security blanket for these guys. They're wigs.
Yeah, and it's a way of...
And it's an image.
Holding on
know?
To the holding on to the image that people are expecting to see when they show up at a gig.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to toy with you know, your brand equity and stuff that the audience expects to see. I mean, it's a ballsy move by JLT, but by the same token, is he that relevant? Is he doing anything? The answer is probably no. And
ballsy move by JLT to go with the Temple of Doom villain look late in his career. Yeah. Not just the head, but the eye makeup and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably does that. He probably pulls hearts out on stage.
Yeah, Halford did that 30 years ago, so it's not exactly cutting edge. But
yeah, he was probably the first, right?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
In that type of rock. Because when did he do it?
Like early 90s, right after he left Priest.
Okay.
What about Udo?
Udo never buzzed it completely.
No, he still hasn't.
As far as I know, maybe he did recently, but back then he didn't.
Yeah. All right. That's still kind of a radical look when Halford did it.
Yeah.
No, now it's very common, but at that time, men who were bald just had like the horseshoe style, you know? Like, not a lot of men just shaved their whole head.
The pattern baldness that looks like a public bathroom toilet seat, basically.
Yeah, that's not the most.
It's a bad look
when you put it that way.
when your head looks like something somebody wants to sit down and shit on, and ideally wipe it down with an antiseptic cloth of some sort beforehand. You gotta stop that look. You gotta put a stop to it.
Yeah, I hear ya. All right, let's keep going.
Jesus.
What do you guys think of that?
Fucking ice pick to my brain. There's just no body to it, to the tone. That's what I'm saying, man. Listen, AB that to fucking Akira and the guy isn't accept, and it's not even a question. I mean, it's just all treble. It's annoying. And of course, every 80s lead guitar cliche is in there. Because why wouldn't it be?
Well, the first
why would you leave any cliches out of that?
The first part of it, I thought, was every other note sounded like a pinch harmonic. I think that's just the way that it's mixed. That's just
it's mixed, and there's just is wrong.
Yeah, and the way it's EQ'd, it sounds like pinch harmonics the whole time. And I'm thinking, like, wow,
body to it.
Is he actually hitting all those pinch harmonics that fast? Like, no, I don't. I think that's that's the EQ, the way that it's mixed in with everything
it's
else.
It's just not. I mean, and that, you know, the guy who produced this album is shown what he can do. I mean, he's basically. I don't know why he didn't. Instruct these guys or have them plug into something different or whatever, but maybe that's what they wanted and he just rolled over for it. But no, there's just I don't know, no body to it. It's not appealing to me, you know, sonically. I mean, 85 was another benchmark album for guitar tone of this genre, Under Lock and Key, Dokken. You listen to that, and you A-B it with this. It's not even in the same league. It's not even close. I mean, the Lynch, the Akira, the Accept guys, it's just so far beyond this. It's not even worth discussing anymore.
Well, one last detail. This is a Michael Sweet solo, according to Wikipedia.
Well,
so they apparently some are Oz Fox, some are Michael Sweet. This is a Michael Sweet. In case we were curious.
Okay. And it's about halfway through it broke into the harmonized sort of
another cliche.
Almost Maiden-esque, almost Thin Lizzy-esque, even though Gene Simmons claimed to have
Detroit Rock City or something?
It was our Shout It Out Loud or Detroit Rock City or something. Claimed to have invented this.
Dual guitars were happening way before that.
But I thought done very well when it busted into that part. It was kind of a relief because it was so grating right before.
Yeah, at least it added some body to it, you know. Other than that, yeah, it was just like ice pick to the brain. It's not a pleasant listen. She waits for godly love.
Coming in hot. Woo. Yes, indeed. Waiting for a love that's real. What are we going to do here? Chris picked it. So I'm going to let you vote first, Chris. It's going to be Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch.
Kick in the Crotch.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. I mean, there's far worse in their catalog that I've been unfortunately exposed to, and switch off of it as fast as possible whenever it happens. But again, if not for the visual and the religious shtick, these guys would have nothing going for them, and they would have never tasted any sort of success or exposure because it's not warranted. They're not good. It's all based on shtick, the visual thing and the Jesus thing, period. And I don't buy into it. I don't know. I didn't know anybody who didn't think these guys were just straight up clowns, and it just didn't have... And it wasn't because people were anti-religion. It wasn't that. It's just these guys are clowns. They're pretenders. They're not as good as any other band you could listen to. Rat, Dokken, Loudness, go down the list. Why wouldn't you listen to that instead of this? Who would listen to this instead of like Rat or Dokken?
Dokken seems like a good comparison. Like Dokken is like... A good striper.
Well,
I mean, in terms of what they're going for.
Well, first of all, they have a legit all world talent on the guitar, and just sonic. Well, Tooth and Nail is a bit of an abomination. It's a great album with the songs, but the production is terrible. Under Lock and Key is like a benchmark for maybe not overall production, because they definitely had shitty drum sounds, but the guitar tone on Under Lock and Key is top shelf all the way. And you know, this doesn't even come close to it. I don't know anybody who's into this band legitimately. Are you gonna attract any chicks by busting out your striper cassettes? I mean, would you listen to this in the company of a woman? Who would do that?
I don't know.
And if he did, what woman wouldn't go running in the opposite direction and never call you again? So if that's the case, which it is, why would you consume this music at all? Somebody would have to explain that to me. There is no upside that I can tell.
All right.
Makes no sense to me. Never has, still doesn't to this day.
Nick?
I'll have to kick it as well.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch!
Though there are elements of it that I enjoy, and reading the lyrics, I do enjoy what I'm getting from them as far as what the song is about, because it's not lazy like a lot of hard rock is, where love is a euphemism, obviously. And we've during the Kiss years, you know,
right,
the Gene Simmons quotes, it's actually like about love, not
yeah,
not just
penises,
coitus, not a particular release, if
right,
you will,
not ejaculating,
rapidly stroke my love until it ejaculates,
yeah, basically. Right. So it's actually kind of refreshing to hear a hard rock song that, even if a song sounds as innocuous and innocent as this, most of the time that's obviously what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I have to take my hat off to him for actually writing a song that is kind of against the grain, really, mm-hmm, as far as popular music goes. So enjoy that fact. Drumming, I thought performance was I enjoyed a lot of the little fills and all the little moments. I don't know the name of the drummer, but I enjoyed
it. It's Robert Sweet.
Oh, is that Robert Sweet? Okay.
Yep.
Forgive me. I didn't realize that was where
that's Robert,
the brother was. But yep. Enjoyed that quite a bit. I mean, you can tell good players.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish though that the vocal had a little bit more edge to it. But you know, who am I to be to be picky in that regard?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not. But it's again, it's not something that I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go home and listen to this and listen to the rest of the album. It's just I didn't really get a rise out of it in that way. But yeah, there are definitely some elements about it where it's kind of refreshing, really.
All right. I am going to give it a kick in the crotch.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch!
Can't do it. I didn't hate it, but again, B tier, whatever we said, second tier. It's, I got very few compliments to give. It just sounds like an attempt to impersonate what was popular at the time, but not as successful at the attempt. Vocal, he's way too vibrato all over the place at the end of every sentence for no reason.
Yeah.
Totally unnecessary. I'll give Robert Sweet the MVP for this track.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
He made zero mistakes.
The drum sound is quality, which was a rarity in the mid-80s for this style of music. So
yeah, and he played well. Sounds great.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I'll agree with you on that for sure.
But yeah, just
the rest of it is just fucking Unix congregating and making music. Not interested.
Unix, huh? All right. Well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
There you go. God. I don't know what to say.
I like the fact that we had a Striper song, though.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of overdue.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons I came back to it. It's like, let's just get it over with. Because yeah. I know, it's on the list, so somebody liked it enough to put it on there. Or they... Well, maybe not in this case because of the comments, but people put it on there because they know we'll skewer it. But, yeah, just get it over with. And I certainly won't be picking another Striper song if there's any on there.
So far, that's the only one.
Okay, good. Let's keep it that way. Crap. And people who truthfully or otherwise claim they were into this shit in the 80s, I can't relate to that at all. That just boggles the mind.
Yeah,
that you would like purchase this cassette and pop it into like a car stereo and like be into it. Not, I mean, I would sooner join the Ku Klux Klan than do that, I think.
Okay. All right. Hey, you know what's? It's a good time for a 10th anniversary message.
Yeah. And
this week, we've got Brandon Furlong.
Pop strikes 10, it must be Monday night. A decade of stupidity, but that's all right. Listen to Pound of Thunder tonight. Leave us a voice message tonight.
What's up, Pot of Thunder? This is Brandon Furlong. Wanted to congratulate you guys on 10 years. I really don't think I could describe how much I love the show. Couldn't love it any more than I do. I feel like I'm right there in the room discussing songs with you guys. It really reminds me of growing up with my older cousin and some of my friends sitting around talking about Kiss. I mean, you guys are hilarious. It's funny how many things from the show creep into my everyday vocabulary.
Oh, no.
You know, just the other day my friend was like, sometimes when you say it's a bony eye, where does that come from? I was like, yeah, Pot of Thunder. But anyway, I mean, I love you guys. You know, I feel like I'm best friends with you. You know, really look forward to it every Monday. And yeah, just keep it up. Thanks a lot. And yeah, just know that the pod crazies love you guys.
Thank you very much, Brandon.
Yeah, that's great. And a lot of people say that, and that's at the very top of the list of compliments we could receive, is that they feel like they're in the room with us. It's like, what do people say about the great live albums of all time? You feel like you're in that concert hall, and that to me is a similar compliment, and that's, you're not going to get a much better compliment than that. So sincerely, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're interjecting things into people's vernacular, that's mission accomplished. That makes me happy.
I wasn't sure which thing he was going to choose.
It could have been any of 100 or 200 things. Yeah. But
he went with Bonyahi.
Yeah, which is a good one. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that
one. Me either. I wonder what the context is, why he's saying this.
Right, someone has some Chef Boyardee. You walk by. What are you having?
That works. Oh, man. You know, back to last. Thank you again to Brandon.
Yeah, appreciate it, and thanks for your...
Brandon's a great dude.
...participation in the discussion threads. It's definitely appreciated and sort of... goes along with that other great compliment that we get. Have gotten a lot from these voice clips, is that people feel a sense of community, and it's again no higher compliment than to actually be a conduit to bringing people together with a common interest and an actual community coming out of that. So,
agreed.
None of which any of us expected would ever happen when we started the podcast way back when. But we're glad it did. So, thank you for that. Those comments.
Yes. And back to last week. We had a bit that we weren't sure what the name of it was.
We're still not sure.
Or
how long it's going to be around.
Yeah, it was...
I know a lot of people talk about it. We're talking about it when I brought it up this week.
Yeah.
And actually, we should just throw it out to the listeners. Name the segment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give it something quick and snappy branding that people can latch onto. But what is the crux of the segment, Nick?
It's guess the drum intro. Mm. What song is it?
Now, that first one was totally easy. So were you just intentionally did a layup to get people engaged with it, and now you're going to give them some more difficult material?
We'll Right. Well,
let's see. So, if you want to play the clue one last time, or do you not have that all queued up?
What clue?
Or like the very first part without the, because I've got the answer here.
I've got the answer.
The answer to okay. What?
to what song? What intro?
Nick well, has a clip.
Why would you reveal the answer? The because, whole point is to.
Well, everybody had a week to.
Oh, from last week.
From yeah. last week.
I thought you meant this week.
And then we do have the clue for next week. Yes.
All right.
Give me one second. I can get the other one real quick. Sorry.
No, that's okay. If you want to just play.
Everybody knows.
You
want to
just play
the
solution? That's fine.
Here we go. I got the whole thing. So this was the clip from last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
Now for the solution.
And the solution.
Tommy the Cat.
Okay.
Sailing the Seas of Cheese.
I see what's happening here.
Okay, if you got it right, give yourself a pat on the back.
Wow, we'll be sending out a t-shirt to any listener who got that one right.
One listener.
Oh, really?
One listener.
Someone got it right.
Yes.
Hmm.
Jason Trahan.
You got it right.
He did.
What happened?
He said, not too far off from a Primus intro.
You said, well.
He's absolutely correct.
Okay.
So if you got it wrong, this is gonna go. If you got it wrong, go take a serious look in the mirror.
You know nothing. You need to be humbled. Wow, I didn't know that's what was happening, but now I
next
see.
Next week. Let's give them the clue.
Okay, now I see we're peeking behind the curtain,
yeah.
Seeing what's out. Now it's making sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's find out what the clue is for this.
People have a whole week to think on this one.
Okay.
All right.
I feel like I've heard that.
So this would be in along the lines, if I may, of to use one of Nick's favorite words, one of the tropes of our times, whereas guess the drum intro, wrong answers only. Would that be accurate?
Well, I suppose you can think of it that way.
All right, it's making sense.
Although there's only one right answer the next week, of course.
Well, there's always only one right answer, right?
Yeah.
So if that was the clue for next week.
All right.
See, once more. Sure.
Clue for next week.
All right.
Big crack on that snare. What could it be? All right. Think about it. Sleep on it. Be careful. Proceed with caution. You don't want to embarrass yourself on the internet like you did last week.
No, it was embarrassing for very many people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Nick's favorite segment.
Oh, I can't wait.
The Yardo Questions.
Oh, yards of questions.
Motherfucker, I give them!
Swing away.
Yes, Chief.
Welcome. A song, or I'm sorry, drum intro segment idea from the chat. Bonered drum intros. So, there's one to think about.
Okay.
There's also Beat the Boner.
Okay, I see where that's going.
Stump the Boner.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll land on something.
I don't know. My prediction about being run out of town might be happening.
Oh, that's like I said earlier, if that hasn't happened already, it's not happening. Should have happened a long time ago to all of us, really.
Missed this one.
Oh, I almost forgot. This is the first episode of August, right?
It is.
What month is that, Andy?
August.
Yeah, just completely blanked on that. Something special going on. Got a little mixed up because the last episode came out on July 31st, but yeah. We're into August. It's Pot of Thunder month traditionally.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Remember that from last year. And it's we're a month away from September now.
Oh, yeah.
Woo. Oh, I can't wait to drop my pick, man. I don't think I've looked forward to anything on the show quite as much as this. And I look forward to last one. I couldn't wait to get that one out. This one's going to be next level.
I may be run out of town next month as well. Who knows?
All right, let's try this one. Kind of great. Grazed at it? Does that sound right?
Sure.
The right word? Is my brain working?
Like a cow?
Yeah, that doesn't. That's not what
Why
I wanted
not?
To say.
You chewed on it a while.
Yeah.
No.
No good. I ate it. This week's Yardo Questions comes to us from Dave Cranston.
Hey, Dave.
Dave says, "What up, fellas? Hope all is well, or in Nick's case, better."
Yes, thank you.
In your pot worlds. Have a quick three questions for a yard for you boys. All right. Question one. Pick one moment, momentous or otherwise, in music history that you would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to witness firsthand, and with the knowledge that you currently have about that event. For me, the literal moment that Ace walked into the audition donning his infamous orange and red sneakers and eventually proceeding to plug in and jam with the rest of the band on Deuce would have been absolutely killer to witness firsthand.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Another suggestion. There's Beat the Poles. And then there's also Rhythmic Slapping.
Oh, I like that. I like that one. I'm going to say the recording sessions for the first Black Sabbath album, which I don't know if there was just one or if there were like two, but they churned that album out in probably a total of 8 hours or something like that. They just went in and played their live set. Just to be in the vibe of the studio with that, the vibe of the material, and just see how that was like channeling itself in the during the business of, you know, getting down to work and recording a debut album. But I mean, obviously that was the seminal metal album. Well, some people disagree on that, but I'm of the opinion that that was the album that gave rise to heavy metal as we know it. That would be my vote, to have been hanging out in the studio while they pounded that out over a weekend.
I'm going to go with probably kind of unexpected coming from me, but just something that I always found intriguing, that which would be a sort of an uncomfortable vibe in the audience, and that would be to witness, I don't know if there's one show in particular where that was an overwhelming feeling amongst everybody, but when Hendrix opened for the Monkees, that would have just been a cool thing just to see, all right, what, like, knowing what you know about what the perception of the Monkees is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the perception of Hendrix and the sort of legacy and the short career and everything like that.
Was he not received well?
And yeah, people were just kind of like, what is this? They weren't there for that.
Yeah, right.
Although, I mean, really, it's loud rock and roll. But, I mean, obviously Hendrix took it to another level. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm like, I mean, you know, I like Hendrix, not the hugest fan or anything like that. But it's just something that would very much it intrigues me. Like, there's the story of Ricky Nelson playing all, there was some sort of like nostalgia show in the late 70s,
yeah,
at Madison Square Garden, and people were just, I forget all the artists, but it was, you know, all these throwback artists, and they're, you know, playing all their hits and doing all the stuff they're known for. He came out and did like all newer kind of stuff, and it didn't go over well, and then he wrote that song Garden Party about it.
Mm.
So something like that, to me is very intriguing. Like knowing kind of that it's going to be a story later on of something that it was just very uncomfortable in the whole building. That to me, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Question two. I believe we did this at one point, but let's do it again. Speaking of Kiss, please kindly rank their first six studio albums. I think mine would go Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun, Dressed to Kill, Hotter Than Hell, and The Debut. I think we did this, right?
Yeah, we've done it before.
But it's probably different every time.
Mine's not. Mine's pretty consistent. I also have The Debut at the bottom slot. So mine would be Rock and Roll Over, Hotter Than Hell, Love Gun, Dressed to Kill, Destroyer, The Debut.
I'm going to do mine as if they were all laid out before me right now. What would I throw on first? I think I would put Love Gun on first. Then I would go with Hotter Than Hell, Dressed to Kill. Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over, and then The Debut.
Oh, Rock and Roll Over, pretty low.
It always seems to fall that way for me. I mean, I love it, but when I think of the other ones, I don't know.
I see a couple comments here in the chat. Aaron Green said, I'm surprised Chris's answer to the first question wasn't the Richie Valens Show Brother Bob drunkenly crashed.
That would have been a good one. Wow. If it had popped into my head, I mean, that would have been great.
Yeah, or there was another.
I didn't know there was a, to be honest, I didn't know there was a real thing. I thought maybe it was fabricated for the movie. But.
Well, and they say that he would fill in on drums for Buddy Holly sometimes. Like, just because Richie Valens was there, he would play drums.
Bob Morales?
No, that Richie Valens would. And then Bob would wander in and play something. Exactly. Yeah.
Bob would pull that move where he grabs a pair of sticks and just starts beating on the floor toms while some other guy is playing the kid, you know?
And they're too afraid to stop.
Or bashing on a cymbal or two. I could see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, something from like the Winter Dance Party tour. That would be amazing.
Well, sure, yeah. Like the last performance, knowing what's going to happen. I mean, that would be crazy. That's one of the reasons I picked the Sabbath, is just knowing how influential and iconic that album was going to be and how quickly they busted it out, and just to cop that whole vibe would be cool.
Yeah. Fielding Fowler said, or Tommy Lee honking the boat horn.
Well, we were all there in a way.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would want to be a third wheel on that vessel.
Maybe you can cruise by on a jet ski. Maybe he honks at you.
Yeah. You go walk by and do the semi-truck thing.
Or I'd be too big off the back of the boat. You know, I don't think those two would want anybody else around when they were engaging in their hijinks.
All right, question three. Finally, if you could live the rest of your days, quote unquote, or more specifically, your working days doing one thing, what would be your dream gig? Personally, I think being the GM of one of your favorite sports teams, for me, either the Bears or Sabres, and getting bank to do so would be incredible. As always, guys, keep up the great work, and here's to the next 500. Have a safe and fun 4th. This is a little bit back here in June, but thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Hope you had a good
first. I don't know if that's a dream gig. There's a lot of pressure in that position.
Yeah,
I mean, the only way that would be a dream gig is if you had some kind of arrangement where, I'm never going to get fired, and I'm going to make mostly the right decisions, because if you don't, you will get shit canned in short order, and there's a lot of pressure there. So.
Yeah, I think flying under the radar would be a key component to whatever my dream job would be.
Mm-hmm.
you specialize in that, don't you?
It does.
It's not a bad place to be, trust me.
Well, I mean, it's stress will get you, right? So if you're flying under the radar as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that. I'm kind of in that pattern of my job. It's like I really have no aspirations to move up at all. Just leave me alone. Let me do what I got to do, and let me get to the weekend where I can, you know, carry on with my what I really care about. You know,
I've been having this conversation with pretty much all my friends lately. It's like we're all landing in the same spot.
Well, that's, you know, that's what happens when you get older. You just realize it's not worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But my dream gig, you're listening to it. If we could be like the fucking podcasting sensation, which 10 years into it, you know, as Marcellus Wallace said in Pulp Fiction, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. You know, if we could be the guys to play live sets at Red Rocks or, you know, any of the venues around town and just concentrate on this, that would, at this point in my life, would be my absolute dream. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we can even do it at all and are bringing in a little bit of money from our advertising and Patreon is way beyond anything I've ever, anything else I've ever attempted in entertainment. But yeah, the answer to the question, you're listening to it from my standpoint.
That's a good one. Nick, do you have something more specific or no?
I guess to be someone who is in the conversation as far as wherever the pool is where people submit songs for major artists to record. To be someone who submits, songwriting material, you know.
What if you just made up a fake job where you could just make people record your songs?
Like, is that kind of like Dead Daisies have that? Like, the guy was not really in the business, but then he's like, "Hey, I'm making my own."
Hey, I'm in the business, and so are you.
Yeah. So, yeah, something like that would be fun, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's something. Kind of behind the scenes like that would be fun. To just be like, all right, here's what I have. Here's a new batch of ideas, and then some of them would get developed into something else. I think that'd be really, really fun and really interesting.
Yeah.
How you get to that position? I have no clue. But
first, I think you have to be a Swedish guy.
Okay.
Seems like that's,
well, I'm out.
That's part of the deal.
You also probably would be better if you were 20 years younger than you are right now. But
yeah.
Well, does that matter if you're just submitting as a writer?
Maybe not.
No, to horn in on the business. You're just not going to plow in at age 43 or however old Nick is. You know.
Either that or kind of along the same lines, like the old gag writers.
Hmm.
Basically, like you've got people would. These comedians would call and be like, "Hey, I need something. Like, I'm hosting the whatever.
Right.
I need some kind of stuff here. Okay,
I gotcha.
I'll throw you a bunch of stuff and see what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that would be cool.
Be a nice gig. All right. Well, thank you, Dave, for your Yardo questions. Thank you, Mike, for your song submission. Sorry we didn't like it, but that's just the way it is.
I'm glad it happened anyway.
I am too. Glad we got there, and I'm sure we'll be somewhere in the very near future. I don't know if we'll be in Striper Land, but we'll be somewhere. All right, see ya.
French fried potatoes, garlic mashed potatoes, loaded baked potato on the waffle fries on the rice.
Oh my goodness. Ugh.